Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. In a moment, we're going to hear our second scripture reading. It comes from the book of Revelation. But before we dive into our scripture and the message, I want to give a little context for Revelation. Has anyone read any of Revelation or maybe heard some stories about it? It's a special book in scripture. It's a little hard to place. It's different than a lot of other books we find in the Bible. It's a little bit prophecy. It's a little bit poetry. It's a little bit commentary on history and a little bit something else entirely. There's a lot of imagery in Revelation, and scholarship and Christians have debated for a long time. Is that imagery to be taken literally? Is that imagery just a metaphor? Scholars have debated on who wrote the text. The author of the text identifies himself as John. John receives this vision from God and puts it into writing to tell the story of this vision. And so many people believed it was John, Jesus' disciple, for a long time. And now there's some other debate on who it might be. The reading that we have for today comes at the very end of Revelation, the second to last chapter we have in the whole Bible. And the way I think about it and invite us to think about it today is if our relationship with God was like a picture book, like a kid's picture book, this vision that we'll hear in Revelation 21 is like how all of our stories end. It's the last picture, the last page in this book. Our relationships with God, they're complicated. The issues we encounter in the world are messy. But if we took all of the in-between in our stories, all the mess, all the complicated, but we get to the end of the story, the last page, I think this is the picture we find. So with that, let's listen to God's word today from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's peoples, and God will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And God said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then God said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would speak to us today through the words we have heard and the words we will hear. We pray that you will open our eyes to see your kingdom building up all around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're joining us for the first time today, we're wrapping up, concluding a series called Good Intentions. We've been taking a closer look at the things that we actually say and think and do when we're trying to help people. In particular, we've been talking about how Christians, how our church has been trying to help people experiencing particular needs, like people experiencing poverty or homelessness or food insecurity. God reminds us in Scripture that we have a responsibility to care for vulnerable people. Scripture talks about the orphan and the widow and the outcast. So we have this responsibility and these good intentions, but sometimes the things that we actually say devalue the people that we're trying to serve. And so a couple weeks ago, we had a little vocabulary lesson, and we talked about some different ways to talk about these people. So instead of hungry people or the poor, we're talking about people who experience poverty. Or here with Sunday Night Suppers, we don't want to just talk about the hungry or the homeless. We want to talk about people experiencing food insecurity. Because that way we're talking about a circumstance that they're experiencing and not their whole identity. So we want to be intentional about the things that we say, but also intentional about the things that we think. How many of you have ever had a story like the one Pastor Josh told last week in his message, where you've maybe gone somewhere to serve and you've made some maybe unfair assumptions or judgments about the people you encounter? So Josh told a story about someone who liked his watch and said he had a watch collection when he really meant he had two watches. But I hear this all the time from people who maybe go to a food pantry or maybe a soup kitchen, and they're surprised by the nice clothes someone might be wearing or the smartphone they might be on. And they just jump to some conclusions and make some judgments about these people and their circumstances and maybe the bad choices that they're making. So even though we have these good intentions to help people, we want to ask good questions about why we say certain things or think certain things or do certain things. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, some of the things that we do or don't do as a church when we are showing up to help. So here's one of the things we do. You know this. We've been talking about this for weeks now. On Sunday nights, we are serving a free meal, no questions asked, to people experiencing food insecurity. We treat them with dignity, and we show them hospitality. We try to learn their stories and their names. And we provide that consistency of at least one meal a week they can count on. That's what we're doing. Here's what we're not doing. We're not ending hunger. We're not ending hunger globally, and not even for the guests that show up here on Sunday nights. One free meal a week can't do that. Hunger is big, it's complicated, it's systemic. When you think about the fact that the USDA estimates that 133 billion pounds of food is wasted in the US each year, while 1 in 8 households in America experiences food insecurity, you know that that math isn't adding up. And you know that one more shared meal a week isn't gonna fix that problem. Hunger is interconnected with so many issues that trying to do something about it can feel overwhelming at best and hopeless at worst. So our mission with Sunday Night Suppers is not to eradicate hunger, but to share a meal, no questions asked. And there's a difference. And understanding that difference of what we are doing, what we're not doing, it's important. It's important to understand what Sunday Night Suppers is not doing so that we know how important it is to support other organizations that are doing the hard work of justice making and systemically addressing issues of poverty and hunger on a global scale. So our larger church body does that. The PCUSA does that. Through the Presbyterian Mission Agency and some of our special offerings, they're trying to address this big issue on a big scale. So we want to support those special offerings. We'll be doing that coming up around Easter, and that's one of the ways that we participate in addressing hunger globally and systemically. Church World Service does that through the Crop Walk, which we get to participate in every fall. Have I bummed anybody out yet? I feel like the bearer of bad news sometimes, because I both want you to be very, very involved in hands-on mission and very, very aware of what our hands-on mission can't do on its own. We don't always know how to talk about these things in church because we don't want to devalue what's being done to meet the immediate needs of our neighbors, but we also don't want to let ourselves off the hook of thinking that's all the work that there is to do. So that's why it's so important for us as Christians to not lose sight of the vision of this new heaven and new earth that John writes about in Revelation. This vision of the ultimate redemption of this broken world, this world where there is no more mourning or crying or pain, that is what gives us hope. It's what the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel had been telling the people of Israel. It's what Jesus himself witnesses to. It's the new creation Paul reminds us is possible even for us because of what Christ has done. It's this ultimate reality that gives us hope when our good intentions bump into bad systems. Systems of injustice and inequality that remind us that this world is not yet God's home. If you're like me and you get discouraged or overwhelmed by the need that there is in the world and feel this compulsion to be a part of doing something about it, it serves us well to remember that while we work and serve and advocate so this world looks more like heaven, we can trust that God is working out the end of this story in and around and through it all. It also serves us well to remember that while we're waiting for this future time when all things are going to be restored, we do get glimpses of that vision of the new heaven and the new earth. We get glimpses of it. These little moments when we experience what the kingdom of God must be like. The vision in Revelation is one where God is among the people, and they see God face to face. There's something holy in our face-to-face encounter, something that we can't get anywhere else. Our face-to-face encounters with people that are very different than us, that we might think are totally other or totally different than us, I think that's where God shows up the most, reminding us how very much we are the same. I think it's in encounters with people that are very different than us that we actually see God the most, too. I think that can only happen face to face. My favorite nights at Sunday Night Suppers are the ones where I've been not very helpful or useful in getting dinner ready or set up or served at all, because you will find me sitting down with our guests instead. It's those nights when I've actually pulled out a chair and sat down with our guests face to face where I feel like I've been a part of the most by doing the very least. That's how I learned that Jack is sometimes an extra on one of my favorite TV shows. That's how I learned that Jeannie is a retired high school teacher and loves teenagers as much as I do. That's how I learned that Glenn was in the hospital for a really, really long time. But he had such good care that even after he was out of the hospital and he found out that some of his nurses were pregnant, he brought them gifts to the hospital because they took care of him. He says, "I'll be getting a gift too." When I am with our guests on Sunday nights and when I know them by name and I know a little bit more of their stories and I sit down with them face to face, I see this vision that John writes about in Revelation. I see this vision come into focus a little clearer. And that's what I want for you all. I want for you to come and see our guests and be with them face to face so that you know them. Today, the littlest Sunday school class, our pre-K through second class, they're doing something special for the kids that come to Sunday night suppers. So to get them thinking about that, they're going to hear a story from the kids' devotion book called Love Does for Kids. So there's an adult, but there's a book, an adult book, a whatever book, by Bob Goff called Love Does. They're all stories about this guy, Bob Goff, and how he lives out his faith. And how he lives out his faith sharing God's love. And so he wrote a book called Love Does. And then he wrote a book with his daughter for kids, a picture book called Love Does for Kids. And that's what our Sunday school kids are going to be hearing about today. And Bob writes a story about how when his kids were little, they loved building go-karts. And pretty soon all the kids in the neighborhood wanted to build go-karts too. And so they decided, let's have a parade and show off all of the go-karts everybody's made. So they invited all the neighbors, and they got balloons, and they got donuts, and everybody was invited to roll their go-karts or walk down the middle of the street. But it was the first time they were doing it, and they were worried nobody was going to show up. But not only did everybody show up, by the end of this parade that they threw together, there was nobody left on the sidewalks to watch the parade because everybody was a part of it. Don't you think that's what the kingdom of heaven might be like? That's how I feel about what God is calling us to do with Sunday night suppers. I know I haven't been here nearly as long as some of you, but I think God is doing something different with this call for us to be a part of Sunday night suppers. I think this is our parade. Our chance to show our neighbors that we're for them and that God's for them. And honestly, I don't know how long we'll get the chance to have a front row seat to our guests and their lives, where it'll be in our building and we can be face to face with them every week. Maybe 3 years, maybe longer. Laura Nelson doesn't like when I say that, but maybe 3 years and maybe longer. But by the time this parade is over, wouldn't it be amazing if no one was left on the sidelines? If no one was left to hear about Sunday night suppers because everyone was already a part of it, wouldn't that be amazing? There's a lot of ways that it's hard for us on our own to make the world more like heaven. Addressing hunger, hard to do on your own. Feeding 80 people on a Sunday night, hard to do on your own. What each of us can do on our own is show up and be face to face with these guests and experience a little bit of what the kingdom of heaven is like, even if it's just for a moment. Amen. Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.